Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca. Okay, welcome everyone. Now, someone has said to me, hey, Pastor Mike, why haven't you had any videos lately? Well, hey, there you go. I don't know what it is about me. I just find that it's nice to be able to start with something that perhaps isn't my voice and ask an important question. What if Emmanuel is true? Like, it is December 13th, and we want to welcome you, whether you're watching live or whether you're watching a little bit later. We just want to continue to be a lifeline somehow in some way to minister to our Bethel family or whoever else may be joining in. So we were just finishing off a series which is called 800-Pound Gorillas, and I still have one more, but I'm going to kind of maybe put that off to the side because we're into Christmas season and there's some important things to talk about at Christmas, and it may not feel like Christmas because we're kind of in this weird time capsule, it seems like, as we go through these challenging times that we're in. Now, for the last 3 years, I have always incorporated a thing which is called people do crazy things at Christmas, and I think I have shown stories of people who have been arrested for beating their neighbor with a Christmas tree. We have shown some weird traditions of stuff that has happened, Christmas lights that had taken place. We have shown the upside down Christmas tree. We have shown many different types of nativity scenes, and just the fact that people are a little bit different and weird situations, things which are taking place, problems that have happened with turkeys in the past, and let me just tell you, with the pandemic, I'll just tell you that we are not running out of things and crazy things which happen at Christmas. And because people have had a little bit more time in their hands, they have had to find ways to have an outlet for that. And so one of the things that have come up that we have seen, and perhaps you will see some of these things on the internet, the thing which is called Christmas hair, Christmas tree hair. So I thought I would at least show you what is happening out there as your pastor, just to kind of keep you up to date of some of the crazy things that people do at Christmas. Let me just show you the first picture of some of the things. Christmas tree hair. Yes, it is true. People are just kind of enjoying the season somehow in some way. I don't know if they go out with these type of things, or maybe they just kind of do them, and it's kind of crazy. But I begin to wonder, if we show our next picture, that how do people walk around with stuff like this? Is it even possible to do that? And then when we go all of a sudden from the Christmas tree effect, you know, let's just kind of go down to snowman. And we just see hairstyles with snowmen. And when we stop with snowmen, let's just kind of keep on going to candy canes and gingerbread men. And hey, the sky's the limit. And you just see, this is just something that women do. You know, you never catch a guy doing something like that. But hey, let me just tell you again, let's go ahead one more with reindeers and everything like that. But hey, you know what? I have found that men are starting to get themselves involved in this crazy thing as well. If we could go to the next slide, there you go. You know what? You don't even have to have hair to have a crazy hairstyle. It's just crazy. I could actually participate in this if I wanted to. I'm not saying that I'm going to. But you know what? It comes a time. Let's just show that last slide. When enough is enough, folks. Now, come on. We do crazy, crazy things at Christmas. It's like something goes on that makes us go to end lengths to do things which are dumb or perhaps crazy. But I thought I would start with something which is extremely light. Let's just go on to the next slide, because I know that if I'm talking and this slide is still showing, that you'll just be watching that. It's always nice to start with something light, especially when things aren't so light sometimes, and we're trying to deal with how to shift and how to minister and This Sunday, we're supposed to have Phil and Judy Bowler with us, missionaries to Guinea, whom we support on a monthly aspect, and they weren't able to do that. They were going to fly in from British Columbia and hit a couple of churches. Visit a couple of churches where they receive support already, and we support them. And I'll give you in the future some of the things that we're going to be doing to help support them. But we aren't able to have them. And I think today was the day that we were going to have a Bethel Connect event. Well, we can't have that. And I was going to have my longest night of the year on December 21st. Well, if you can't have people to be present for that, it's kind of hard to do. Now, we are putting together a Christmas Eve presentation, but even then, it's going to be a pre-recorded thing because it's we're in code red, folks, and with that, we have all the challenges. And so what I did as I was approaching Christmas season, I pray this prayer a lot anyways. One prayer I have as I'm seeking to speak on something, I always pray this prayer: God, if you were to come down, if it were you to be standing up here in person, in the flesh, speaking, what is it that you would say? What is the thing that you are trying to say for this particular time? And particularly when we think of this particular Christmas, God, what are you trying to say? What would be the thing that you would be saying right to? What would be the scripture that you would be directing us to? So as I prayed about that, and as I asked God to use me and work in this particular time, there was a passage of scripture that I was led to. It's in Matthew chapter 1, and it's a popular passage, maybe amongst the most popular passages of scripture. And it is found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And it says this: at this time, the angel Gabriel is talking to Joseph and explaining the scenario which is going on. But as he does that, he says this, and he's talking about Mary. He says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which is to be interpreted God with us. That's what it means. And it's a scripture which is taken from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where hundreds of years prior, this is what was said. And this is one of my favorite passages of scripture. In the midst of this crazy, confusing, hard to figure out, I believe if God is going to say something to us, if the Holy Spirit is trying to say something to us today, it is this: I'm with you. I am with you. But with that comes the other aspect of the scenario, is this: is are you with God? And how does that translate in the midst of a pandemic confusion? How does this kind of play out? And I'm always amazed when we think of this, that whenever throughout history, tough times have happened, and in instances in scripture, when things were difficult, when there was challenges, and as a result of challenges comes questions. You ever realize that? Whenever there are challenges, there are questions. And what's going on? It's a hopeless situation. What do I do now? How do I respond to all this? That many times when God talks and God intervenes, he answers with his word. He says, I am God. And think of all the times throughout scriptures when there are times where there are questions about the economy, when there are talks about problems, when things could have been better, that God begins to answer with his name. One time he says, I am Jehovah Shalom, God my peace. Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, you know, the God is our healer. You know, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is our banner in times of victory. And when these were happening, God was basically answering the question of what was being asked at that particular time. El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty. Jehovah Shammah. I love that one, as the Lord is there. And God begins to answer a question with his name. You're looking for an answer, figure out what my name is. And if this is what has been the case throughout Scripture, why should it be any different this Christmas? In this case, in the confusion that we're going through all the challenges that we face, and I'm not too sure what everybody is facing, we're all unique in the challenges that we face, but the answer is still the same, that we serve Emmanuel. God is with us. And in that proclamation of prophecy that was made 700 years before, because of this proclamation, God is able to speak to our hearts. But here is the thing. Here's the crux of the whole thing of a proclamation in Scripture. We have to make the decision whether we are going to believe that proclamation or not. Because a proclamation means absolutely nothing unless we get to that point where we say, yes, amen, that is true. Is it true? Is it true of me? You see, what happens many times is that from our head to our heart, sometimes there is a hostile takeover that happens when it enters our head and goes to our heart, that somehow we begin to doubt this and say, okay, is this really something which is true? And this is something that needs to be true of us. Do we really believe that He is God with us? That's the crux. Are you going to go with your present emotion? Are you going to go with your present circumstance? Are you actually going to believe that the Word of God is true? And that's the challenge that we have today. So as we approach a pandemic Christmas, and as we are limited in the way we are able to express worship to the Lord and to be able to express worship together, God has something special to say. And as we look at this passage of Scripture in Matthew, I wanted to say three firm things about this passage, which I think will give hope to a number of you who are out there, that will bring healing in a time when we really need to see healing take place in our lives. First thing I wanted to say as we take a look at this passage is this, that this is a statement of declaration. When the Scripture talks about this, it is declaring something to be true. It is declaring who God is. It is talking about His character. It is talking about what God's intention is for mankind, that His care for creation is there. And so this is something which is a declaration that sometimes we need to see. Have you ever had a declaration that has been made over your life? Perhaps you're going through a difficult time, and some person from the church or a relative or your pastor or someone comes up and says, you know, this is what I've noticed about you. Let me just make this proclamation. Make this declaration over you, that this is what you might be feeling, but in reality, this is the truth about you. I remember one person coming up and saying, you know, you may think that you're walking in doubt, but God has made you a mighty warrior. You need to step out as a mighty warrior. And what happens is it makes a proclamation of truth. It kind of dispels the enemy. It dispels the lie. It encourages us. And there are those times when we need to hear a declaration. Now, in charismatic circles, we put so much emphasis on personal declarations that people will give. And sometimes we forget the absolute importance of declarations that are made in the Word of God. Because if a person comes to make a declaration to you, we have to weigh that up, because it's just coming from a person who is following what they believe God is saying. We need to understand whether that is what God is saying. But the Word of God is true. A declaration that is in the Word of God is something which is so powerful because we can trust it to be absolutely true. And so this is an important thing. The prophets have declared things throughout Scriptures. And a lot of times the prophets would get up and say, hey, fear not, for I'm with you. How about Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:11? I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you, to give you a future. How many times have we heard that quoted in our services, and people have said that, and perhaps that's something that you have applied to your life? Why was that declaration made? Well, that declaration was made because at the time, the people really didn't feel that was the way it was going to be going with God. And what happens is the prophet makes a declaration. How about the one that says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I will revive them and I will heal their land. Well, what was happening at that time is that God's people were not humbling themselves. The declarations are made many times where God begins to say something because there is a lie that is beginning to be believed and there's an encouragement that needs to happen. And sometimes God needs to put a declaration in our lives so that we can continue to go, to be able to minister. And so let me ask this question of you today. What is the declaration that God is wanting to make? Take a look at the things that this is mentioned in the scripture. He said, the declaration is this, God is with us. Have you ever considered, and I know that I've spoken on this before, that when God says, I am with you, it means three different things. It means, hey, God with us. That means that God lived among us. When the angel had said that, and when the prophecy was made that God is with us, it basically meant that God was going to be living among us. That God in his love and his grace and his selflessness leaves the perfection of heaven. Stop and consider this. I don't think that we will ever really understand this until we get to heaven ourselves and see how wonderful it is. But God takes on the form of a servant, gives up the voluntary use of his divine attributes, and lives like we are among us. No faith other than Christianity talks about this. That God begins to inject himself into the redemptive story. But not only does it mean, hey, God with us and that he's living among us, it means, hey, God with us, he lives within us. That the whole process of the incarnation was so that Christ could have our hearts and so that we no longer need a sacrifice. And as a result, the Holy Spirit comes and he lives within us. Not only is it God among us, it is God within us. And not only that, it talks about the fact that when it says God is within us, it is talking about the fact that God is on our side. Hey, God is with us. Do you not realize that he advocates for us, that he is doing things on our behalf? Doesn't matter how discouraged you are. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter whether there is a situation that you are up against that you don't know what you're going to do. The fact is this, that the God of the universe, the God who created everything, is on your side. This is pretty wonderful news when you stop to consider it. Well, the fact that you may be struggling in whatever uncertainty that you might be swimming in, or whatever health problems or whatever financial problems, that God cares for you, that God is on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us, the scripture says. And when the angel said this, he didn't indicate which of the three he was intending to say. If you look at commentators, if you look at people who have studied this, they're not convinced. There's not one overwhelming that says, well, it actually means this. The other ones are kind of nice, but this is the actual interpretation. So we're left to think, which one is it? Either that or this. It makes all three make sense, that it is good news on all of those fronts. So let me ask you, what is the declaration that needs to be said over you? What is that thing that the Holy Spirit has to kind of slap us in reality? Does he ever think that there are those times when God has to kind of strike us into reality? Yeah, this is what you believe. This is what the circumstance looks like. But I am God. I care for you. I know you. I am with you. You may not feel it right now. You may not know what's going on. And hey, you know, I don't know exactly what you are going through, but one thing I do know for sure is that God is with us, and I realize that God is with us because his word says so. God declares it, no matter how difficult the situation is. I think it's time that God begins to hit us with the truth of his word. It is a statement of declaration. Not only is it a statement of declaration, I think as well as I look deeper at this passage of scripture, it is a statement of dependency. If God is with us, it basically means that he is living within us. That there is the aspect of the fact that God not only wants to come and bail us out of trouble, but he wants to continually live with us. The intention of scripture was never that, okay, so these people in trouble, I'll just kind of let them out and then I'll kind of leave. No, that wasn't what the scripture has intended at all. That we are continually meant to depend on him. And sometimes it takes those times when everything is taken away from us for us to all of a sudden begin to understand again the idea of dependence. I think it was Augustine, one of the early church fathers, who penned this phrase. He called it withness, not witness, withness. And it talks about the fact that God wants us to continually walk in a stage where we are with him. About 400 years ago, there was a friar, his name was Brother Andrew, and they took a collection of all the letters and things that he had written to people, and they published it, and it is still popular, still in circulation today. It's called The Practice of the presence of God. And basically what Brother Andrew is saying is this: we need to continually conduct and live our lives as though we are living in the presence of God, that God is continually living in us. Whether it is good or whether it is bad, we are continually operating at a stage where God is within us, working in us. And this is an important thing. This is where sometimes we go off. It's an important thing to understand, because to be with God, to be dependent of God, means that we give him absolutely everything all the time, whether things are good and whether things are bad. Because there are times I have wondered if there's an erroneous view that some of us adhere to, that basically what we need to do is we need to continue on and serve God, but not really have him with us until we actually need him. I'm gonna sit there and I'm gonna serve God and I'm gonna walk with him, but I'm only gonna walk with him, and I'm going to walk with him when things are good. I'm gonna be able to do it on my own. But when I actually need God, that is the time when I actually need to have him with me. The times when I need to lean on him. But actually the scripture, the imperative of scripture, is that we need to walk with him regardless of whether it's good or whether it is not good, to be with him, continually with him. And I think that we have failed and we've lacked in God's power because of this. The only times we walk with God is in strength is the time that we need it. And God has convicted me a number of times on this. There was a time when I was just starting out as a pastor and we were planting a church, and I remember praying this prayer: God, Lord, I pray for more people. We need to be able to establish this program. We're going to need people, because we're going to need people to help with Sunday school as kids are coming in and families with children are coming in. So God, we just pray. We pray for people. And I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me deeply and saying, why should I answer that prayer? Because really what you are wanting is you're wanting for me to bring a bunch of people into this congregation so that you can run programs and no longer need to depend on me. Why would I answer a prayer like that? Hey, at what point do we really think that we are strong enough to do it without God? That's the fallacy, folks. Oh, I'm doing well. I really don't need God, and I'll kind of go on my own. Well, at what point is that? And at what point do you actually wander into that point where you need God? What happens is we are walking in the fullness of God, but all of a sudden, if it gets difficult, we don't realize it's difficult until we're kind of staggering with this huge weight in our hands. And I believe that God wants us to carry the burdens when things are good as well as when the things are bad. What inevitably happens is that we end up doing it on our own strength, and then there comes a time where we don't realize that we're fully loaded. If you're not going to depend on God when times are good, chances are you will forget to when times are bad. I remember someone pointed out to me a question in ministry, which has still haunted me to this day. He asked this question: let me ask you, when you do your ministry, are you doing it for the Lord or are you doing it with the Lord? Ouch. How many times have we done that? It doesn't matter whether you're preaching or whether you're pastoring or whether you're ushering or whether you're worship leading or whether you are going to help in seniors ministries or youth ministry or junior high ministry. Are you doing it for the Lord or are you doing it with the Lord? It's a big difference between one and the other. And the same question is huge when it comes in the midst of a pandemic. Are you surviving for the Lord or are you surviving with the Lord? The virgin will give birth to a child and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, but only when you need him. Well, that's not what the scripture says. He says, I'm going to lean on you. I need to lean on you on the good, and I need to lean you on the bad. And you can say, no, I'm going to lean on good, but you know what? I'm only going to do it because I'm fine on my own, because I think that that really pleases the Lord. Look, God, I'm kind of doing it on my own. Isn't this great? Well, no, it's being disobedient, because basically you are walking on your own and God never, ever has intended that. You're being disobedient rather than actually pleasing the Lord. And so this becomes an important issue for us to understand. Hey, look, God, I'm suffering for you. Well, really? You know, next thing you're going to be doing is you're going to be forming your hair like a Christmas tree, and it's going to get crazy. You know what I mean? Can I say to you something in the Lord? Do everything through him. Don't do anything without him. Even when you can do it without him, continue to do it with him and through him. And see how this changes your life, and see how it changes your joy and your peace, and see how it changes your stress and your health, and see how it changes the results of your ministry. See how it will make you thrive in the midst of a pandemic. It's John 15 that says, I'm the vine, you are the branches, which is a nice scenario. But the next thing Jesus says, because without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Well, Merry Christmas to you, Pastor Mike. Well, you know what? This many times has been my life. How many seasons have I gone through where I said, okay, yeah, God, I got this. See, it's not difficult. I don't need to at this point. All of a sudden to realize that I have been carrying a heavy burden for a long period of time. Then when God says, I am with you, he is saying, you need to depend on me. I'm not an ornament that is on the shelf that is only needed when necessary. I'm not this little sign on a wall that says, in case of tragedy, break glass. That God wants to be with you. It's a declaration statement. It is a dependence statement. There's one more. I think it's what we will call a statement of distinctiveness. Because when God says, I'm with you, he's not just declaring who he is, and he's not declaring the fact that we need to be dependent on him. Well, when God says, I am with you, in actuality, the statement is that really the desire is that you will belong to me. When something which is all-encompassing comes upon something like me, which is not all-encompassing, you know what? That all-encompassing thing doesn't become like me. No, I become like that thing which is all-encompassing. When I begin to trust in God, God doesn't change. I change. And this is a tremendously important message to understand when we are so confused about misplaced identity. That our identity is based on who we are in him and not our money and not our job and not our lifestyle. If your identity is in your job, it is what you are, not who you are. If your identity is based on your lifestyle, it is based on how you are and not who you are. And if your identity is based on all your stuff and all of your money, it is why you are and not who you are. But when God says that he is with us, the intention is that we will be with him, that God will take all of us. And when all of a sudden you have the wrong eggs in the basket and that your identity is based on something else, you go down a road which is difficult. You all of a sudden end up being burdened in a way and you wonder, why am I burdened? Well, all of a sudden your identity is not in Christ. It's in anything else. But let me just add, your identity is not based on what has happened in your past and any mistake that you have made and any shame that has accumulated as a result of that. And Your identity is not based on the baggage that your parents may have left you with. And it's not based on your family tree or your family history. It's not based on your any deficiency or disability or disease. Your identity is not cancer if you've had cancer. Your identity is not multiple sclerosis if you have multiple sclerosis. Your identity is not diabetes if you have diabetes. Your identity is Christ. And that is the end of the story. Doesn't matter whether your father went to prison or he left you a negative legacy that might be tied to you. See, identity has to do with him being with us, with God ministering. And maybe the most comfortable thing that we understand at Christmas through this passage of scripture is this. That when God says, the angel says that, I am Emmanuel, God with you. Here's the thing. You belong to him if you give him everything. The question is, in the midst of all this confusion, in the midst of all the difficult things that happen, has something happened along the way where we have failed to realize that he is with us? Or maybe we do realize that he is with us, but now we've come separated from the fact that he wants all of us. I think it's time for us to believe the declaration of Scripture. I think it's time for us to realize that we need to depend on Him, whether you're going through a good time or a bad time. If you don't go with Him, and if you aren't with Him in the good times, then you won't know what it's like, and you'll feel bad when you don't feel Him during the bad times. And it's time to realize that it is a statement of distinctiveness, that God, as you give Him everything, your identity becomes tied into Him, and God begins to give you peace, real peace. I would imagine most of us have heard of the individual whose name is Stan Lee. Not Spike Lee, who is another author of another genre. Stan Lee is the guy who's responsible and has been the creator or the co-creator of such individuals and such figures in literature as Spider-Man, as the Incredible Hulk, as Thor, as Iron Man, as the X-Men, Ant-Man, the Avengers, Captain America. All those things are kind of the brainchild of this individual whose name is Stan Lee. And if you've ever been watching some of the movies that we've had over the last 15 or 20 years, we'll realize the great success that has happened with Stan Lee and the movies that he has had. As a matter of fact, the Avengers, I think, since 2008 has grossed over $10 billion in ticket sales. And so there are lots of different storytellers out there who can give a good story. And so we're left to ask, what is it about Stan Lee and his approach to literature and these stories that made what he did stick and other people's imaginations and their storylines or whatever not stick? Well, he gives a bit of an idea in an interview by, I believe it was Entertainment Today or Entertainment Tonight, and he says, this is what I found. This is what I had come to realize. That we can accept an individual who is a hero, someone who wants to save us, someone who comes and maybe they can walk on walls like someone who slings a web, or maybe when they get angry, they turn green and they're able to come and deliver the people from the crime or whatever crisis that is at place. And we can kind of accept that. He said, but I also had to add the fact that how does the person deal with this in a real way that, yeah, they may be a superhero, but they also deal with the fact that they have parents and they have women that love them and women that maybe dump them. And they're having to deal with everyday life. They're having to deal with the responses. And the thought is, that, hey, there's two things in us that we have for this to be successful. We need to have someone who is a superhero that we can look to help us and save us. Yet at the same time, we need someone who we can create in his literature, someone that we could create that we can actually appeal to, someone that we can relate to. And for those of you who know Stan Lee, a lot of times he interjected himself into the movies. A lot of times you would see him, a small part in a movie, he would kind of put himself in the movie. And someone think about this for a second. When we think of the incarnation, that in us, mankind, we need a savior. We need someone who's going to save us from the problems and the things that are going on in our lives and our hearts. Yet at the same time, this God interjected himself into the story and became relatable so he can make a difference in our lives. That Christmas is all about God coming in flesh, relating to us in every single way so that he can save us. God, I just pray for each and every person who is listening or may be listening to this message. I believe, God, you have something distinctly for a number of people who are out there. And so, Lord, I just pray the prayer of faith in Jesus' name, Lord, as though we are at an altar right now. That as I'm praying, Lord, that it might be an altar time, even though someone might be at their table with a coffee or maybe sitting at the couch watching this on TV or whatever the case may be. Lord, I pray a declaration right now that you are with us. And Lord, let it snap us out of the reality that we're not too sure what's going on in our lives. And let it snap us out of the fear and the worry and the angst and the unsureness that we're going through and the misery that we might be feeling and the aloneness. Let it be snapped out by a declaration that there's a God who is with us and cares for us. Lord, I just pray a prayer of dependence, Lord, for those of us who have depended on God, but we've only depended on God when we've needed God. And God, you've called us to be with you all the time, in the good and in the bad and in the process. We thought that we were going good, but really we're carrying this heavy weight we ever really realized at the point when it's gotten bad. And so, Lord, we come back to that time where we say, God, I depend on you through everything, in every part of our hearts. Oh, God, we want to be with you. We want to practice the presence of God. For those who have based their identity on their job or on their lifestyle or on something tragic, and that tragic event has defined them, doesn't need to define them, because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And God, you are doing something special in our life, even if our past has stunk, or maybe we're going through some type of disability, or maybe we are suffering because something terrible has happened in our lives. God, your word still remains true, and we have to decide whether we're going to go by the emotion of the moment or whether we're going to go by the circumstances that somehow we think are going on in our lives, or we need to trust in your unfailing true word, which actually says that you care about us. So, Lord, I pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit to go through these internet waves or whatever we want to call it, and begin to speak to each and every individual, each and every life, each and every heart. Allow your presence, Father, to do something deep and something rich and something full that will make a difference in all of our lives. Lord, I don't know what you are doing in this pandemic. One thing I do know, Father, is that you care for us, and that, Lord, you are going to do something fresh and new in our hearts and our lives if we allow you to have full lordship of our lives. So, minister, give us wisdom. May you be with each and every person today, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I'm going to pass it over. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.